How can I know God is real?
What does the Bible say about politics?
Why does a good God allow suffering?
If you have questions about faith, life or culture, don't be afraid to ask. This is Ask with David Dean.
G'day everyone, Dave Dean here. And our question for the week is, how can we know God is real when we can't see him? Well, we know all sorts of things are real without having directly seen them. Think about the wind. You can't see the wind itself, but you can see its effects. Leaves rustling, trees bending, and you can feel it on your skin. In the same way, while we cannot see God directly, we can observe his effects in the world around us through the beauty of nature, the order of the universe, and the intricacy of life, in particular, human life. But look, I don't want to dismiss the question altogether. It is a good question, and you know it's an important one when it's on the lips of those in Scripture, like Psalm 10. The question of God's visibility depends on who really is asking the question and how it's been asked. You see, some might dismiss the idea of God as a sky fairy, arguing that if God wanted us to believe, he should have made his existence more obvious to us, you know, tear open the sky and talk to us or something like that. Others may believe in God but feel disillusioned because their faith doesn't feel as real or transformative as they had hoped or expected. So to those questioning why God doesn't make his existence blatantly obvious, like ripping open the sky and declaring his presence or marking us with a made by God stamp on our backs or something like that, I would just simply argue that God has already made himself known in clear ways. We see evidence of this in nature, in human nature, our consciousness, our intrinsic longings, features best explained by the concept of being made in the image of God, the imago Dei. And write in and ask a question if you'd like more on that. Furthermore, our expectations of evidence might need to be adjusted. I mean, the relationship between God and humanity is not like the relationship that we have with another human person or a tree or a rock or an animal or something like that. It's more analogous to an author and characters in a story. Just consider Frodo in The Lord of the Rings. If he wanted to know Tolkien, how on earth would he go about knowing Tolkien, the author? Well, he couldn't just go talk to his friend. He couldn't just go talk to an animal or touch a rock or something like that. These may be indicators of something beyond, like an author, but they don't expressly reveal the author in his fullness. If Frodo is to know Tolkien, then Tolkien needs to reach down and communicate himself to Frodo in such a way that Frodo knows who his author is. And as it is, we read in the Bible that God has done just that. The Creator God of the whole universe has reached down in a person. 1 John 1:1 says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life." In other words, we have strong philosophical, historical, and experiential reasons to believe in God and specifically the revelation of God in Jesus. But to one final point here, and I know this is a huge question, is that God ultimately reveals himself in a way that fosters a kind of relationship, the kind that he wants us to have. Blaise Pascal once famously said, "God has put enough into this world to make faith in him a most reasonable thing, but he's left enough out to make it impossible to live by reason alone." In other words, there is a sense of incompleteness here, a need for trust, longing, and hope. So I don't think God's primary purpose in life is to just reveal himself to all of humanity that we may have complete certainty of him, but to reveal himself to us in such a way that we long for and desire for and lean upon him and put our faith and trust in him. C.S. Lewis, in his famous essay, The Weight of Glory, speaks about this anticipation when he writes, quote, "At present, we are left on the outside of the world, the wrong side of the door. We discern the freshness and purity of morning, but they do not make us fresh and pure. We cannot mingle with the splendors we see, but all the leaves of the New Testament are rustling with the rumor that it will not always be so. Someday, God willing, we shall get in," end quote. In other words, God is wooing and pursuing us, seeking a voluntary commitment by faith, not just recognition of his mere existence. It's like the parable of the prodigal son, Luke 15:11-32. It took distance for the son to realize that he needed to come home. So, as we are waiting now for the revelation of God in his fullness, where we will see him face to face and we will know as we are fully known, may we be encouraged that in 2 Corinthians 4:18, as Paul says, we are to fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal, knowing that one day that faith will give way to sight as we see our Maker in his radiant brilliance. So how can we know God is real when we can't see him. By observing the evidence of his presence in our lives and the world around us, and by understanding that faith involves trust and relationship beyond the mere physical proof, it's investment of our whole lives in him and believing that he will come good on what he says.
Do you have a question about Christian beliefs, theology, doctrine, philosophy, or culture? Don't be afraid to ask. Go to drcdean.com/ask. That's Dean with an E.